Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For the 16th Sunday of Pentecost, we'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to read from chapter 16. And we're going to read a very familiar part of Scripture, I'm sure, but a very difficult part of Scripture to grasp. So I covet your prayers because I don't have any special insight on this. But God is the one to speak, and men in flesh are to be silent. So we're going to read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Luke 16, verse 1, reading in Jesus' name. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be a manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking my management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what I'll do. So when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first one, 'How much do you owe the master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write down 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little also is faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? For if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. And Father, what do we know? We know you. And we know your goodness. So Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because there is no truth outside of your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Context is a very important thing, and oftentimes we don't like to deal with context. Jesse likes to have his own certain pet scripture verse that he uses, and he likes to use it in a way that he feels it defends his thought or his belief, but rather we should really look at the whole scripture. And so we're going to start from Genesis 1. Hope you don't have lunch plans. Obviously, we can't do that, right? But the reality of it is we can look in its context right around this whole thing. And why is this parable being brought to the people? And actually, it's interesting, it's to his disciples. But if we were to look really in chapter 15, and I'll just give you a review. It says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners, they were drawing near to Jesus. They were just thronging to him. They had a desire. They had needs. They had a thirst, a hunger. And the Pharisees, they were pretty stoked about this. It's like, yes, he's having an impact." That's not what it says. You think that's what it would say, but that's not what it says. The Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled. They grumbled, "This man receives sinners and eats with them. Who is this guy?" Shouldn't someone so holy separate himself? Shouldn't someone so holy keep himself from stained from the world? And it's an interesting thing. So Jesus, he understood that they were grumbling within their hearts. He understood that they grumbled amongst the people. And it's interesting because we often think when we grumble to other people, nobody knows. It's like any gossip. It's like a fire. You can grumble about somebody else. You can grumble about a pastor. People can't wait to share negativity when they're in their fallen nature. The pastor, the person, is going to find out. It can be anybody. They're going to find out. Because people like to grumble and people like to share those grumblings. But Jesus knew. And you think that he could turn around and say, "What's wrong with you boneheads? What's wrong with you guys? Aren't you excited that people have a desire?" No. He actually brings it out in a parable form so that they could have a descriptive story to understand what he's talking about. And I love how he does this because he does this first before this one. He brings it out in other parables. And to me, he gives three parables just before what we read. And he gives the parable about the lost sheep. And he starts out with 100. "Which one of you men, having 100 sheep, and you lose one, wouldn't leave the 99 and go find that one lost sheep? Because it has great value to you." And then he drops to 10%. Because, well, I could see it. You know, if you've got 100, it's nice to have 100, but okay, let's go 10%. "This woman has 10 coins, and they're of great value to her. And she loses one. And in reality, she goes through her whole house, digging through every drawer, sweeping under everything, checking every corner, doing all kinds of stuff to find this one coin." Well, what about 1%? 1%. He gives the parable of what we call the prodigal son, which brings us dead into this text that he brought out today. He says, this guy had a son. His son walks up to him and says, I'm going to put it in Jesse Aho terms, "Dad, you're dead to me." Because that's what inheritances are. When someone dies, you get an inheritance. "You're dead to me, Dad. I want to live my own life. I want to do my own thing." Oh, I know these words. "I want what's due to me." And you think the dad would say, "Son, you don't know what you're doing. You're young. You're inexperienced. You're going to waste it." Because we put a lot of value on carnal things, unrighteous mammon. That's what that is. We put a lot of value on that. And that dad probably worked hard to get all this stuff. But the dad doesn't say that. He loves his son, and he gives it to him. And the son doesn't buy the farm next door. The son doesn't, you know, take and invest it somewhere. It says very plainly in the scripture, this one, no longer 100, no longer 10, one, takes everything that was given to him. He goes off into the world and lives in terrible living, spending time with the girls of the night, spending time on whatever else, and next thing you know, he finds himself broke. He's broke. And he's sitting there, and he's sitting in something that a Jewish person would never find himself in, a pig pen. And he's feeding pigs, and he's so hungry, he's thinking, "Dude, I could eat this slop. I could eat this." But he remembers the love of a father. And he goes, "What's wrong with me?" Have you ever had those moments in your life where you say, "What's wrong with me?" He said, "What's wrong with me? My father has servants that are living better than I live." He turns from this world and he goes back to the father. He turns and he makes a motion to go back to the father, but yet in his human terms, he wants to come up with a plan. "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go tell my dad I blew it. I understand that I'm no longer worthy to be your son because I've treated you as though you were dead. I took your goods and I wasted it. And he starts heading up the road. And as we say, he starts heading up the driveway. And Jesus says very plainly, who was standing in that driveway? His father. He longed for his son. He longed for him. He was waiting for him. And when the son comes up the driveway, the dad is excited. He's so stoked. He forgets his integrity as a good, proud Jewish man, or as we'd say in our life, a good Finlander. And he runs. Very uncustomary for a Jewish man. Very uncustomary for one who has been wronged. He runs to him. And the son starts turning around and rehearsing. You know what, Dad? I blew it. I'm no longer. And all of a sudden the dad's like, listen, servants, go get him a robe. Dress him. Get him some shoes, which were very expensive in the day. Go get him the ring. Kill a fatted calf, because we're going to have a Gekkity like no other Gekkity that we've ever had, because my son is back. He was so excited. Fully restored. And you think everybody would be stoked over this. But then there was the other son. Here's the music. Here's everything that's going on. What's up? He asks the servant, what's going on here? Why is everybody having a gekkity, a party? He says, your father is so excited. Your brother came back. He killed a fatted calf, and we're going to have a party to celebrate him coming home. You think he'd be stoked? Just like we think we'd be, the Pharisees would be stoked for people coming to Jesus. But they were selfish. They cared only for their gain, for their wealth. And if I was that father in my human flesh, I'd be like, well, pooey on you, I'm done with you. That's not the graciousness of our Father. That father leaves the Gekkity, goes outside, and asks his sulking son, what's wrong? What's wrong? My boneheaded brother basically says, Dad, you're dead. Give me everything that I got coming to me. And he goes and wastes it on harlots. And now he comes back. And you celebrate him? Doesn't seem fair, does it? Especially if we keep our eyes fixated on the monetary gains and losses of our life. Now, we may not want to hear it, but at the end of our text, it says these Pharisees he was dealing with, what did they love? Money. Context. What was the brother mad about? Wasting everything you gave him. What do we worry about, and we can't honestly say it because it's not very Christian? Wasting. Living a righteous life. The father says, son, your brother was lost, and now he's back. Isn't it only right that we celebrate? Isn't it only right? The father shows him grace too. And we need to be gracious even to those that don't understand, if I could say it this way, the Christian doctrine. The forgiveness of God. Allow God's word to do its work. So it's interesting how it comes about. Then we come basically now to our text, which is really interesting. And it says very plainly, he also. That means that these Pharisees were still there in the hearing of this. They were still listening. He also said to the disciples, there was a rich man. He had this manager. This manager was in charge of everything. This manager would make sure the accounts receivables were brought in. He'd make sure the debts were paid. He managed everything. And it doesn't say exactly what his folly was, but he was dishonest. He wasn't a good manager. He was wasting possessions. And so now he's talking in this aspect. There's a guy that was put in charge of everything, and he was blowing it. He was blowing the whole thing. So he called him, and he says, I want to know, what's going on with you? What's up with this? He says, I want to do an audit on you. He says, turn over all your accounts. He says, because you can't be a manager anymore. Go home, get your books, bring them back to me. We're going to end this. We're going to end it. And this is a very worldly description. But they would all understand and know exactly what Jesus is talking about. You're not going to have a manager that's mismanaging all the funds. You're not going to have a manager that's mismanaging the vines and the grapes and the wines and the everything else. You're going to make sure when you're a wealthy individual that people are really watching out for you. He says, so go back. So the manager turns around. He's like, man, this isn't good. I'm getting old. I can't dig ditches. And I've been a manager for so long, I'm not going to beg. I have way too much pride for that. What am I going to do? Aha. I got it. See, the owner doesn't know the books. The owner doesn't understand the books. I've been keeping him in charge all this time. The manager's saying, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to work out a deal. He says, so that way, when I'm kicked out of my position, see, I have the opportunity now to do something, but once I'm removed, I can't do anything about it. He says, so he decided what to do. When I'm removed from management, I want people to be able to receive me. It's the good old boys network. Remember that time I washed your hand? Now it's time for you to wash mine. And it's interesting. So he turns around and he says to himself, you know, now I'm going to do something about it. So he summoned the master's debtors. And the way this is laid out in the Greek, it only gives us two examples, but it sounds like there was more with the verbs that are there than just these two. But it's an example that Jesus is giving here. And so he summons the master's debtors, the ones that owed the masters that he was in charge of. He says, how much do you owe my master? And he said, well, I owe him 100 barrels of oil. That's what I owe him. That's quite a bit. He says, redo your books. Redo your books and quickly write down, you owe him 50. Wow, that's interesting. He said, now to another, how much do you owe? And he says, I owe 100 measures of wheat. So he gave the other guy 50% off. He gives this guy 20% off. He says, write down 80. Write down 80. Whew. So now in our mind, we're thinking, what a dirtbag. Not only did he misappropriate all the funds before and he's getting fired for it, now he's actually cooking the books so that he can get some favors in the end. I don't know. In American politics, we'd say, boy, is he smart. How do these people go into office making $178,000 a year and within 3-4 years they're multimillionaires? Maybe they're smart. Doesn't mean they have integrity. There's good smart and bad smart. So the master commanded the dishonest, the master commended the dishonest servant. So the master heard about this in Jesus' conversation. He says, the master hears about this. And what does he say? He didn't say he was good. He didn't say that, you know, this guy is awesome and what a generous man. He actually commended the dishonest, and it's still in there. He still has that issue, that title of dishonest, for his shrewdness. for being wise to take care of himself. To take his position that he's in and prepare for tomorrow. I'm not saying that Jesus is saying this is great the way he did. He's saying he took the position that he had and he prepared for tomorrow. Might not be honest, is not ethical, is not right, but you have to admit that's using your position. So he commended him for the dishonest manager's shrewdness, for that he says, the sons of this world are more shrewd, more wise, more sneaky, crafty, whatever you want to use for the word shrewd, in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And so what he says here very plainly is, these worldly people are smart. And you might laugh at me and say, well, Pastor, you're way off on this. No, if we look at the advertisements of this world, if we look at a lot of the information that's given to us, there are some brilliant people out there in the advertising world that can make things that will kill you over time seem really good. We don't see ads for cigarettes anymore, but that was one of the biggest ones, right? You want to be cool? Smoke cools. Everybody wanted to be cool. They had a way of making things seem good and benefit their company so that you would buy them. They do it with alcohol, they do it with everything. And so all he's saying is this guy is wise in the world. This guy is wise in the world, and he's actually dealing with his own generation. But he says they are brighter in those areas than actually we are as the children, and I'm going to say of faith, or of light in dealing with eternity. Now I'm going to bring it to you full circle. We have been equipped with the gifts of eternity, and oftentimes we don't use them well. We take for granted, we don't share, we do all kinds of things. But he's saying, they're really kind of bright. So he says very plainly, he says, I'm going to tell you something, and this must have been hard for them to hear. Jesus is saying, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth. And this is where it comes out to. We don't like to talk about these things, but God has blessed us. We have blessings of wealth, material gain, things like that. And if you don't, then you're living somewhere in a culvert with no shoes, no shirt, no nothing. God has blessed us. How do we use the blessings? Do we use it for the furtherment of the kingdom of God? Do we use what he has given us ultimately to glorify him? Are we, if we could say it in this way, investing in eternity? And you could say, Pastor, this is crazy. You're just talking about monetary things. Well, if I'm not, then what are we even giving collections for? Why do we support missionaries? Why do we do any of that stuff? How do we use what God has blessed us with for the kingdom? So he's saying, in reality, you live upon this earth. You're not of the earth. You're going to take the unrighteous mammon and use it righteously. That's exactly what Martin Luther talked about. In fact, his wife had to try to contain him because he would be broke. And he even said it. If it wasn't for my wife, we'd have nothing. There is balance. Now, this message may not be very popular because if anything human beings are tied to, and I am no different, it is our monetary values. But Jesus says, it's not me, he says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves, right, by the means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, he says, you may be received into eternal dwellings. When it fails, what's that? Whether it's wealth, fine. What about this life? When we die. And this isn't talking about a works righteousness. This is talking an obedience to the Spirit of God, understanding and knowing that everything that we have comes from the hand of God. Therefore, it's not that how will I give back some for God? It's more how will I use God's giving to me? How will I utilize it? But, you know, Pastor, he don't know anything, and he's just preaching about monetary wealth because he wants a raise or something. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust do destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do destroy, where thieves don't break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, for the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, if you're seeing Christ, if you're looking in the right direction, not at everything else, right? He says, your whole body will be filled with light. He said, but if your eye is bad, in other words, if it's wandering only to the sideways things and the worldly things, he says, your whole body will be filled with darkness. It's never enough. It'll never satisfy. He says, if then the light in you is of darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, how blind are you if you think you see but you don't? And then he says it again. Jesus says it again. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. And he says it very plainly. You cannot serve God and money. You can't. So, money's wrong. Can't have no money. That's not what he's saying. Abraham, we just heard, he was not poor. He was not poor. Lot was not poor. Moral, money is amoral. It's amoral. Money of itself is neither good or bad. Do you understand that? It's what you do with what God has entrusted you with that is good or bad. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's what Timothy says. He doesn't say, you know, money is the root of all evil. Everybody quotes that. It's the love. So Jesus is sharing with them that you have been entrusted with a great gift, and you need the discernment and the wisdom that the world has in worldly things, but apply it in spiritual matters. How many times have you heard a statement like, you know, wow, I'm really thankful I was able to go on this mission trip. When I went on this mission trip, we were able to share the gospel with so many people and do this, this, and this. And then you find out very plainly that these people were given gifts by other people so they could do that. There's a book that's important that I think people could listen to or read, and it's called The Monk and the Merchant. There are those that are called to ministry, and there are those that are called to support the ministry. It's extremely important. And so when you come to this, this is exactly what Jesus is saying. He says, the world is wise. They know how to do what they do. And they gain what they need to gain. But that's all going to burn. He says, you need to have that same wisdom, but apply it in spiritual matters. But I guess maybe the scripture is wrong. Is it? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I don't think it's wrong. But it's not good to preach about these matters. I can definitely sense that. So then he goes on and he says very plainly. He says, after, you know, making friends of yourselves by the means of unrighteous mammon, taking what God has given you and allowed you to have upon this earth in an earthly sense to, say, invest in a spiritual sense, utilize. He says, because listen to this. One who is faithful with very little will be extremely faithful in very much. If you're willing to take whatever it is that God has blessed you with and use it for His glory, you're going to be so faithful with everything else. He says, and the one who is dishonest in very little actually will be dishonest in many other things too. He said, you know, so he says, if then you have not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, and that's what Jesus says, not me, who will entrust you in true riches? We want blessing in our life. Be committed to him. We want blessing in our life, all the more continue to be involved in his ministry, his word, praying, meditation, strengthening. I don't know. Maybe I should probably just step down. But the point is, we spend a lot of time studying a lot of other things. We know sports statistics. We know everything else. What do we know of this? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What do we know of this? Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. What do we know of this? Freely you have been given. Freely give. This is what Jesus is trying to talk about. It's not just about the day-to-day life. And I don't know how we do it, because in all honesty, we live 6 days a week in that realm as normal people. And then one day a week for maybe an hour, we come and receive of the spiritual food. And I'm not saying we don't have Bible studies and stuff like that. But Jesse knows very plainly, he spends a lot more time on the secular things than he does on the spiritual things. And my question is, do we all? And it's not a works righteousness. It's out of the commitment to God. And so anyways, he said, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other. He says, and or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's not wrong to have money. You know that. I've said that. It's only wrong when money has you. And now you get to the heart of the whole issue, why he's saying this. And this is in the scripture. We don't exclude parts of scripture because they make us uncomfortable. It's like coming to a text on divorce and we don't want to preach it because we don't want to be uncomfortable. And I didn't pick it, it was a church calendar text. But the fact of it is, he says in verse 14, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, they heard all these things, and what did they do? They ridiculed him. They ripped on him. He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. We exalt some pretty interesting things in our lives. And I'm telling you, those things will fail. They're temporary fillings. So may God be glorified. May we consider what he has blessed us with. And may we utilize that for his honor, for his glory. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, even for the tough parts of Scripture. Oftentimes, Father, we generally want to just hear about those beautiful fields of ripe harvest. We want to hear about how you'll provide everything, which is all true. But what do we do with what you have given us? How do we honor you? So, Father, we ask that you would just allow us to meditate upon these words. Whether it be in monetary or spiritual blessings, Father, how do we utilize them in this world to bring you honor and glory? Not ourselves. Father, we ask that you would just continue to encourage us in the upcoming week, that you would keep people safe and allow us to know the love that only you can offer. We ask it all in Christ. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord, make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.